From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, welcome to Entertainment Insider. I'm Gene Triplett, entertainment editor for The Oklahoman and NewsOK.com. I'm here today with Heather Warlick Moore, Matt Price, and George Lang, the whole entertainment gang. We're here to talk about entertainment news this week, and I think we'll just kick it off with what's up with Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, his meltdown seems to be escalating. I mean, last Thursday in Miami, he went off on a heckler while he was doing his hip hop act. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on here?
Okay, George, there's the question of whether this is a put on. Right. You know, is this some kind of Andy Kaufman stunt where he's just kind of pulling our legs, and then, you know, in a few months he's just going to be like, ah, kidding. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. And the reason why I wonder about it is one of the things that he yelled out during that Miami performance, he said it was like this fake hip hop boast where he's like, I've got $1 million in my bank account, what do you got?
Wow.
Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And so I'm wondering about that. But then on the other hand, you wonder if there might be something wrong with the guy. That, you know, take into account that he grew up in a cult, the Children of God cult, and that you know, he and his brother, you know, River were raised in, and then he also watched his brother die in front of the Viper Room several years ago, and so there's all of these things that you have to take into account that, you know, there could be something really wrong with him, and in which case we're going to feel kind of bad for making fun of him. But at the same time, you know, there's part of me that thinks that it's a put on, you know, because, like, I still think that Andy Kaufman's alive, and his death is a big stunt, and he's going to come back in a few years and go, ha, you know, so who knows?
Heather, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a stunt. I really do. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of speculation in the media, people, you know, actually having sources that come to him and say, yeah, the whole thing is a put on. Casey Affleck is shooting everything for a documentary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Joaquin is really known for getting into character and staying into character, you know, when he's shooting something. And this would be a perfect example of that if he's mm-hmm. doing this documentary about some crazy hip hop guy. He could be mentally ill, which, if that's the case, then it's really sad that there's been so much fun poked at him, because that's just not something to laugh at. You know, but whether, no matter what it is, if he's mentally ill, if he's on drugs, or if it's just a big hoax, I think it's pretty tasteless, not very funny, and really, like, the charm is really wearing off the whole story.
You know, I guess I'm just hoping that, I mean, Casey Affleck is his friend, he's filming him. I would hope if he's really mentally ill or something wrong with him, they would, rather than just keep going with it, say, okay, hey, we need to get you some help, versus if it is some type of put on, or if, you know, he's fine in person, but he just is blowing it up bigger, like maybe he really is trying to become a hip hop act, but he's going, you know, he's acting kind of crazy just as part of the act. I mean, I hope at least the people who are his friends would put a stop to it if he was really in some kind of trouble.
Well, that's what makes it kind of suspect, that Casey Affleck's in the audience filming all this
that's
stuff.
Right.
And that's more than once he's been spotted out there with a camera.
Oh, yeah.
On the other hand, I met Joaquin in Dallas in 04 when he was on a publicity tour for Ladder 49. Mm-hmm. And the guy is very low-key. He's very serious, even self-deprecating. And I didn't see that kind of Borat humor coming from this guy. So I'm wondering, you know, either it could go either way. And if it is, in fact, mental illness, it's kind of sad because, you know, here's one of our finest talents right now.
Absolutely.
You know, melting down in public. So we'll see how that works out. Meanwhile, Michael Jackson's returning to the stage. Some observers wondered if anybody was going to care. But,
they
sold out. They sold out the first few shows there at the O2. Arena in London, just in one day, I think, within a matter of hours.
Right.
So, and that was several shows. Now they've added, they're up to 50 shows now that they've got scheduled for that thing. So what do y'all think about Jacko's comeback?
Well, I don't think it's a surprise that he sold out, you know, 10 concerts in 5 hours. Then they've added, well, now he's up to 50 concerts from what I read. And I read that he's doing this as kind of a financial bailout for himself, so that he doesn't have to lose, you know, his Neverland Rancher. I guess he already lost that, I'm not sure. But anyway, I don't know. I think a part of the big, you know, excitement about the show is you know, people figure this is going to be a show unlike any other show. I mean, this is definitely, he's an amazingly talented guy, no matter how weird he is, right?
That's true.
So I think it's kind of interesting. He's also, in order to make some money to bail himself out, he's got an auction coming up where he's liquidating some things here, like Ziggy the Talking Clown gumball machine. He's got a gaming system named Virtual Boy. he's got a life-size E.T. statue decorated in a fall motif. And he's got a signed black and white photograph of a preteen Roddy McDowell encased in a gold-gilted frame. So some of the things on his auction. So, you know, anyway, I just think, whatever. It'd be a great idea, though, for a bunch of, you know, big pop stars to get together and throw a big concert to bail out the United States economy.
There you go. Absolutely.
That's a thought. Obviously, he's one of the most electrifying performers of all time. On the other hand, I might be a little past caring at this point. It'll probably be a good show for the people who can afford to go, I suppose, but I don't know if he's still, you know, at the pulse of anything, or he's just sort of, you know, at this point, are we just, is it just nostalgia that's motivating these buyers? I think maybe so, because I don't think he's going to come out with any new and interesting music in the future. That could change, but that's my feeling on it right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I still kind of hold out hope that the guy's going to record something that's worth listening to. Mm-hmm. I have my doubts as to whether the concerts are even going to happen. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, this is the opportune time for this guy to make the album that is going to restore him, you know, a restorative CD.
Man, that would have to be a good album.
Well, if you think about it, you know, South by Southwest, the keynote speaker is Quincy Jones. There's a lot of interest in, you know, in the sound that was created when Quincy Jones started producing him with Off the Wall back in 1979. A phenomenal album, a great album. Personally, I think it's better than Thriller. It didn't sell as much, but it's a better album. I would like to see them get back together and make the album that, you know, that, I don't know, stops us from talking about Michael Jackson as a freak show and more as the great performer that he was at one time. So, you know, I mean, you go back and listen to that stuff, it's fantastic.
But he's never going to live down his image as a freak show.
Probably not. But if he could make an album that might sort of equivocate for it, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you still got to keep in mind, even though he's like the poster boy for weird celebrity public behavior, mm-hmm. he was the undisputed biggest pop star of the '80s for mm-hmm. sure. And he also broke down the race barrier on MTV early on. Mm-hmm. So. And a lot of his fans remember him for the good stuff, and the most dedicated fans are out there buying those tickets, and obviously there's plenty of them. Well, spring officially starts Friday. What Oklahoma events are you most looking forward to this spring, Heather?
Festival of the Arts and there the Paseo Arts Festival, definitely. It's a great time. This will be the first year that I've been able to enjoy the festival without having to actually play with my band there, so it's going to be kind of fun for me. I won't get one of those cool T-shirts that says Performing Artist, but I love the Festival of the Arts, and now that we've got a new house, I'm looking for some art to decorate the walls, so
great.
I'm excited about it.
Matt?
Yeah, Festival of the Arts is a good one. I'll also mention one that probably won't be on all of you, the first thought in all your minds, but Free Comic Book Day is the first Saturday in May at comic book stores across Oklahoma, so
yes.
Go to your comic book stores, get a free comic book. That, you know, what's a better springtime activity than that?
Yeah.
Well, there's the Norman Music Festival on April 25th, and that's the one that I'm really looking forward to. Last year was fantastic with the Polyphonic Spree and the reunion of the Chainsaw Kittens. This year, you've got Of Montreal headlining. The Starlight Mints are going to be performing. A huge number of other bands and probably some that haven't been announced yet. And of course, they have that offer into Joaquin Phoenix. So, you know, so if Quentin Baumgartner and Jonathan Fowler are able to get him, then that would be fantastic. But they need to get some security.
I think the first annual installment of the Norman Music Festival showed great promise for something really, really cool for this area, for the central Oklahoma metro area. I mean, Tulsa's got D-Fest, you know, Austin, of course, has got South by Southwest. I'd sure like to see the Norman Music Festival grow that
big. It's free, yeah.
And it's free, absolutely.
And yeah, and so of course, you know, we're going to be down there with cameras all day shooting that. Yeah, I can hardly wait for that.
Yeah, that's April 25th, by the way. It goes from, what, noon to midnight, I believe?
Yeah.
All day that Saturday.
That's right.
Well, the weekend saw two remakes open at the box office, Race to Witch Mountain and Last House on the Left, and I was just wondering, well, what are the best and worst film remakes in your opinion?
Let's start with Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Oh,
okay, well, I didn't think of a whole, I mean, there's a lot of worst ones, but I think I managed to not see them. So, as far as the worst one that I actually saw, the Matthew Broderick Godzilla was not good.
Stinky.
Probably the worst film remake that I can think of right now. Like, I managed to avoid the Pink Panther and some of the other ones that you've had to see. So, and I actually thought of more good ones than I thought I would at first. Ocean's 11, you know, was a great remake with Brad Pitt, George Clooney, and those guys. Magnificent Seven, technically a remake, is a brilliant movie. Maybe not better than the original, but certainly a brilliant remake.
That's a good one.
The Thomas Crown Affair, while you wouldn't think you could remake maybe Steve McQueen and improve on it, the Pierce Brosnan remake was a really, really good movie. So that's a handful of good remakes worth seeking out at in your Netflix queue.
There you go. George, what do you think?
Well, for the bad ones, the more appropriate question is, what was the worst remake that you saw this year? Yeah, because there were tons of them. I mean, you know, you mentioned the Pink Panther 2. Mm-hmm. Okay, the first one that came out three years ago was absolutely abysmal. This one was almost as bad. And then there was The Day the Earth Stood Still, which, you know, that's the original is in my pantheon of great science fiction movies, and the latest one looked cheap, didn't make sense. And there was no reason to remake it other than the cash factor. Mm-hmm. As far as ones that I love, really the one that I go back to is Martin Scorsese's version of Cape Fear.
That's pretty good.
I love that one. I think Thomas Crown Affair was excellent, but I always go back to Cape Fear as something that kind of, you know, that added something to the original, and also it brought back the two key stars from the original film and flipped them
in the
role. So I thought that was really great.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just going to go with the very worst and the very best. In my opinion, and I'm still trying to figure out why Gus Van Sant saw it necessary to remake Psycho scene for scene back in 1998. I mean, this is a landmark film. It's a one-of-a-kind film. Why? I mean, if he meant it as a tribute, it really came off as an insult. it's just, it still boggles my mind. Vince as Norman Bates, you know, Vince Vaughn.
No.
That's some bad casting.
Yeah.
I think the best all-time remake is Ben-Hur, 1959 version of Ben-Hur, remake of the 1925 version. The 1925 version is a classic, but it was only right to bring it back when they could put sound to it and CinemaScope. It was a fantastic film, 11 Academy Award nominations, yeah. I believe. It was a record at the time. So those are the two that top my two lists there. So anyway, we thank you for looking in. I think that's all we have this week, and hope to see you next time.